Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, powered by Overtime Media. I am Jake Kokorowski, senior writer at BadgerBlitz.com. Of course, your home for everything Wisconsin, from the recruiting trail, on the field, and on the court. Happy Friday to you all. Hopefully, y'all had a great and safe Thanksgiving. After all the turkey, stuffing, dressing, whatever you want to call that, mashed potatoes, various pies and side dishes, we resume Axe Week. Wisconsin, now number 14 in the college football playoff poll, takes on Minnesota inside the Twin Cities, in particular, Huntington-Bake Stadium on campus of the University of Minnesota. 3 p.m. Central Time kickoff, that is on Fox. And of course, you can listen to it on the Badger Radio Network. BadgerBlitz.com will be up there coming up tomorrow. I'll be driving up there to cover the game along with Dan Sanger, our fantastic photographer. Without further ado, though, we're going to have a lot coming up. Just to kind of give you a preview, we're going to go through. We have a Q&A with our friends at the Gopher Report. You guys saw this on BadgerBlitz.com's YouTube page, but wanted to rehash this because we do some cross-pollination with our content to show you what we offer both video and in podcast form. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Maui Invitational and Wisconsin's winning it, one, and then the emergence, I think on a national scale, of Jonathan Davis, the sophomore guard from La Crosse. And then I'll give my three keys to the game for Wisconsin against Minnesota and coming away with not just a victory and Paul Bunyan's axe, but also the ability to punch their ticket to Indianapolis and represent the Big Ten West in the conference championship game. So without further ado, here's Alex Carlson and I talking. We're going to take one quick break, come back here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We have Alex Carlson on. Alex, thanks for making time for us this evening. And Minnesota comes in 7-4, 5-3 in the Big Ten. How would you describe the year so far for PJ Fleck in his program?
You know, it's been a little bit of an up and down year. I think everyone coming into this season had high hopes for the program and thought there could be a pretty good year. Obviously, you have all five linemen returning. Tanner Morgan, who's now a third-year starter, has been returning. Defensively, I think they added a few pieces that really got the people excited. So I think there was a lot of optimism coming into the season. And for the most part, the team has played, you know, pretty well and beaten some quality opponents. But then it always goes back to a couple of those, you know, the Bowling Green games kind of seems to be that one stain that the Gophers haven't been able to shake all season. And then, unfortunately, another disappointing loss against Illinois at home a couple of weeks ago. So it's been a little bit of up and down year. Obviously, dropping the game at Iowa, last week, or not this past weekend, but the one prior to that, Minnesota no longer has the opportunity to kind of control their own destiny within the West. But obviously, there's still a lot at stake going forward for the program. I think they're excited. Obviously, you know, whenever Wisconsin comes to town, there's always a little bit of extra emphasis and enthusiasm. So.
And I was there back in like 2019 and seeing that the college game day there, the atmosphere was just crazy. The snow falling. It was a winter wonderland. I know it went Wisconsin's way, but it was one of those things, those great atmospheres for college football that you absolutely, this is why we cover college football for those type of feelings. And, you know, I guess Alex looking at the offense for Minnesota right now, averaging about 26.4 yards per contest. Their rushing game, we talk about how good Wisconsin's running game is, but if you take a look at Minnesota's, they're not that far behind. 204.3 yards per contest. That's 23rd in the FBS, one of the best in the Big Ten. And they're also about almost four and a half yards per carry, 4.4-ish. Passing yards, you know, it is complementary football to an extent. 163.6 yards per game with with Minnesota in the passing game there. Third down conversions, you're looking at 45.2%. Which is great for an offense in terms of moving the chains. And Minnesota, for that matter, is third. If I'm not mistaken, they're third in the nation in time of possession, right? They're first in the Big Ten, and Wisconsin is second, for that matter, seventh in the FBS there. Sacks allowed, 17. Turnovers, they have only coughed up 10 times in 11 games. And I think that's going to be huge for Wisconsin and Minnesota, who can take advantage of that stat for that, in that end. But with looking at this offense, you and I have talked about it in a written Q&A, and that'll be up tomorrow on BadgerBlitz.com. But this running back room has dealt with so much. This offense has dealt with so many weapons being out for the year, or for like Cam Wiley transferring out. How have they continued to be dominant up front, in their ground attack? And what do they do? And I take it a lot of it goes back to that offensive line you mentioned before.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that position just kind of been snake bitten this year for the team. I mean, to lose, obviously in the first game of the year, you lose Mo Ibrahim, who's a third team All-American last year. And if that's not, if that's not bad enough for a team, right, that's not a big enough loss. You get a couple more, Bryce Williams, Trey Potts go down. And of course, Cam Wiley, unfortunately, transfers. But I think, for one thing, obviously the offensive line is a ton of credit. These are guys who, a lot of these guys are fifth year seniors who came back, obviously had the extra year from 2020 that they wanted to utilize. So a lot of them came back for another, fifth, sometimes even sixth year in certain cases. The right guard, Connor Olson, actually just set the Big Ten record for starts for an offensive lineman last week, 56. So, these guys have played, 3-4 years of football together, a lot of continuity on the offensive line. And they were actually ranked number one on Pro Football Focus's offensive line rankings list as well. So I think that's probably been the biggest thing, is just the continuity and the depth and the veteran, leadership up front has really helped kind of stabilize that room. But then also, I think it just goes to show that Minnesota's recruited really well at the running back position specifically. To be on number five, number six running back, both of them freshmen, and to still be able to, be third in the conference in rushing and still be able to put up over 200 yards a game on the ground, I think it just shows that the team has recruited really, really well at that position, and it's paying off.
And within that, too, let's take a look at this defense then for Minnesota, which everyone talks about Wisconsin having a great, one of the better defenses in the best defenses in the nation right now, even after that 452-yard performance by Nebraska last weekend and gave up 28 points to Adrian Martinez and the Huskers offense, and needed a goal line stand to prevent a loss that would have completely changed the direction of what could be a season where they reel off eight consecutive wins, and whatnot there. But now looking at this defense though for Minnesota, no slouches either, right? This is a very stout, to say the very least, unit. 13th in the FBS in points per game allowed. I have this slide up here right now. 103.6 yards per game allowed rushing, which is under 4 yards per carry there. That's 12th in the FBS. Passing yards per game, Wisconsin's one of the top units. Well, so is Minnesota, 13th in the nation, just under 186 yards allowed. Their opponents are moving the chains on third down about 36.5% of the time. Sacks are, they have about 20 in 12 games, so under two, but they've also created 14 turnovers, so they're plus four in turnover margin heading into this game. What makes this, in your eyes, Alex, just what makes this unit so stout, and just what has it done so well this year, and who should fans watch for on Saturday?
So I think part of it too, so there's probably a couple of different things. I think first off, transfers have really, really bolstered this unit. Minnesota was able to get a guy like Jack Gibbons, who was a three-year starter, a two-time captain at Abilene Christian University. He had over 250 career tackles at Abilene Christian. Obviously wanted maybe a bigger opportunity opportunity to play at a Big Ten school for his extra eligibility year. He comes here and he's been, you know, one of the best players, if maybe arguably the best player on the defense this season. He leads the team in tackles. So that was a transfer that really, really has worked out well for the team. Another guy named Niles Pinckney at the defensive tackle position. He came from Clemson. So he was a rotational guy at Clemson, you know, wanted to be able to come to a university and have like a starting role where he could really solidify himself. He's come in and been the starting three tech since day one, and he's really bolstered that interior unit. So I think a couple of transfers have really, really worked out for the team. And even getting guys like that, I think, have allowed maybe other players who are, you know, younger, maybe redshirt freshmen or redshirt sophomores at the linebacker and defensive tackle spot. It's kind of allowed them to move aside and not have to be the guy. You know, they're allowing those other transfers to be the you know, kind of the guys at those positions, and then they can play off of them, which I think has helped them maybe gain some confidence and not, you know, be thrust into a role that's too much. So, and then also I think part of it too is that this was a defensive unit that had to play a lot of guys last year. And last year, you know, Minnesota went 3-4 and defensively was not very good last year. But I think, you know, part of the fruits of the labor, if you will, was they were forced to play a lot of young guys, you know, a lot of freshmen, a lot of redshirt freshmen, a lot of redshirt sophomores. And, you know, while maybe last year they struggled a little bit, I think that helped them grow. And maybe confidence wise, you know, another year now of kind of, you know, starting and being in the mix and the game slows down a little bit for them. And so they've really, really grown on that side. So, I mean, besides, so Jack Gibbons and Niles Pinckney are probably two of the watch. Boye Mafe is another one. He's a defensive end that leads the team in tackles for loss with 9 and sacks with 6. He has a chance to be a draft pick, maybe a second day draft pick, or maybe a, you know, early in the third day draft pick this spring if he ends the season strong. And then in the secondary, Tyler Newbin is actually a guy who is third on the team in tackles, first on the team in interceptions at the safety position. Really, really improved from a year ago and has really put it together a nice season. So those are some of the main guys to watch out for on Saturday.
One last couple questions for you before we let you go, Alex. Keys to the game for Minnesota to, you know, which it would be an upset right now. What would it take in your eyes for keys to the game for the Gophers to not just regain the axe again, but also, you know, spoil Wisconsin's, chance to just punch their ticket to Indianapolis with an outright win on Saturday?
Yeah, I think Minnesota and Wisconsin are, we talked about it a little bit, statistically really similar. They actually are pretty similar teams. You know, like I said, first 1-2 in the Big Ten in time of possession. They're both very run heavy and do a very good job of it. And defensively, they're both very stout, you know, against the run, but also just in general. So, and they both kind of struggle to have a consistent passing game. So honestly, I think they are pretty, you know, pretty similar in that regard. They kind of want to do the same things, you know, control the clock, limit possessions, make you make mistakes, and kind of make you play at their pace. So I think it's honestly going to come down to one, turnovers. I think if one team is able to, you know, maybe win the turnover battle 3-1 or 2-0 and really get some short fields and get some scoring opportunities, I think that will go a long way. And then also I think just, you know, the passing game, which for both schools has struggled a little bit. I think whichever team is able to make more, and it doesn't have to be necessarily, you don't have to throw the ball around the yard, right? But I think who's ever been able to make more, you know, whether it can be third down conversions or at least get something out of the passing game to kind of keep drive alive or maybe open up the run game a little bit, I think that's the team that's going to be victorious on Saturday.
Last question for you before we let you go. Game predictions, who you got and why?
So I said this in the Q&A, and the Gophers fans probably aren't going to like it, but I'm going to go Wisconsin 21 or 20, I think it was Wisconsin 20 and Minnesota 14. I don't think there's going to be much scoring. As I alluded to earlier, I think it's going to be the clock is going to run. And it's going to be a fairly quick game. I think Minnesota has struggled a little bit. They've had these games this year, whether it be even like Illinois or Bowling Green, just these kind of random games where they don't always seem to put it together offensively. And I think, you know, with Wisconsin's, their ability to stop the run is going to have to force Minnesota to not always be able to rely on that. I think they're going to have to make some plays in the passing game. And if they're able to make enough, I'm not quite sure. So, and I do think that Minnesota's defense can be a little bit bend but don't break-ish. As they are good statistically, and they have been really good, but they can also have times where they let up some longer drives. And obviously, if they do it against Wisconsin, that's going to put them in some really tough positions. So as much as the Minnesota fans might not like it, I'm going to go 20-14 Wisconsin.
Oh, There we go, folks. And we got Alex, man, appreciate you being on the show. Real quick before people let you go, obviously you can go to, you know, the Gopher Report. It's Minnesota.rivals.com is where folks can go to get everything you need to talk. You know, y'all are bringing out tons of content for the game, and obviously it's Axe Week, so it's a big week overall just for, I think, both sites, just because the rivalry is strong between the fan bases. But what do y'all got going on before Saturday?
Yep, I appreciate you. So we sent over some questions for you behind enemy lines, which you were gracious enough to answer and sent back to us. We'll have that on the website. We'll post a Three Keys to Victory article, which will come out in the next couple of days, or what, you know, I deem to be three keys if Minnesota's to pull off you know, the win for the Axe. We have a live game stream and thread that we always put together for game times and a prediction preview as well. So, yep, tons of good content coming here in the next few days, obviously leading up to the game.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. Jake Okorowski, senior writer, once again, thanks to Alex Carlson for making time for us once again. And now, before we give I give my three keys to Wisconsin's win, a potential Wisconsin win over Minnesota, let's talk about the Badger basketball team. The men's basketball side, stunning many on a national scale with winning the Maui Invitational Championship. A 61-55 victory over St. Mary's capped it off, but in the 2 days prior, they came back from 16 down in the first half against Texas A&M to notch an 11-point win, and then they outscore Houston by 20 and hang on barely for a 65-63 win over the Cougars on Tuesday. So it is a big series of wins for Wisconsin and Greg Gard. And really just wanted to kind of give a few stats, a couple of things that popped out from there, not too deep. We'll have Benjamin Wargle, our senior writer who covers the men's basketball beat, coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll do some YouTube stuff. We'll do some podcasting. Hopefully we'll cross-pollinate it over to this podcast too, so y'all hear that if you're driving and don't have access to YouTube. But really, you know, this is the first ever Maui Invitational Championship for the Wisconsin men's basketball program. With that win, the sixth school to do so, to claim a Maui Invitational Championship. That's according to UW's post game notes and whatnot. The big thing for Wisconsin that you saw, I mean, let's talk some takeaways real quick on my end. And if you want to go, for sure, Benjamin Wargle has some great stuff. Ben has some amazing stuff up on BadgerBlitz.com. I'm talking about takeaways from the win and also kind of broadly for the tournament. And, you know, first off, let's talk about from mine, you know, Jonathan Davis, the sophomore guard, earns Maui Invitational MVP honors. He had 20 points against St. Mary's on Wednesday. Also added 7 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. He averaged 23.7 points per game, almost 24 points per contest, you know, and which, according to UW, actually breaks the tournament record of 48 set by Trayvon Hughes in 2009 and Ethan Happ in 2016. But he also, within that, I mean, it's really impressive just what he's done. And, you know, he's in all the games that he's played, he scored at least 15 points. And, you know, right now, that's according to UW's notes. And on top of that, 20.2 points per game on the season. He's standing out. You're seeing the versatility from him. He can play defense. He can make shots. He's not afraid to take shots. He can steal the ball. The athleticism is through the roof. And you saw it on full display in Las Vegas, the site of the Maui Invitational this year due to the pandemic. Also, I mean, you know, UW calls this out in their postgame notes. He's averaging 5.6 rebounds per game. And that's impressive just how he's able to grab the ball. He gravitates towards the ball, whether it's shooting, rebounding, making a steal, or even dishing it out. And so that's huge for him this year, making that big step. And you can just see the confidence glowing from him. You know, I think another thing that stands out is just the way this team won in the tournament was various ways. You're coming back down 16 in the first half to Texas A&M, and you come back up with a win against Houston. They shoot the lights out and they're extremely efficient in the first half. And then they have to claw and hang on for a win against a very talented, at the time, number 12 ranked Houston program. And then, you know, St. Mary's too, they have to, they're grinding it out and they come away with a win on Wednesday. And you saw that show itself. And really, you know, even looking at Jonathan Davis's stat line on that, that's what makes it even more interesting. 11 of his game high 20 points against St. Mary's came in the final 7 minutes, 49 seconds. And Ben calls that out in his takeaways. And, you know, I think within that too, you also saw someone like Tyler Wall step up to try and look for who's going to be the next scorers, right, for this program behind Davis and Brad Davison. Tyler Wall looked the part there. He scored 18 points, 12 were in that second half. And on top of that, yeah, 4-4 from the free throw line. He's going to be a great defender, but Wall can get in the post, and you've seen him just take it and be patient, take what's given to him, and then create a high percentage shot. And he's been able to do that. We'll see how much more consistent he can be. I mean, even just looking right now at the season totals for, if you're looking at what Wall has, he's through six games, all of them starts, 9.3 points per game, 5 rebounds per contest on that, 12 of 15 from the line. He's shooting 80%, and he's 50% from the field, 22 of 44. You know, compare that to being like the Davis likes to likes to shoot it. He's 36.4, or he's actually 42.9% from the field, 36.4 from 3-point range. Still pretty high percentage, you know, for the amount of shots he's been taking. And, you know, the second on team, Brad Davison, 13.3 points per contest on 35.4% field goal shooting. Davison still kind of cold from 3-point range, 11 of 42. He actually has the most attempts from three for the team at the minute moment through six games, 26.2%. Needless to say, if Wisconsin has Davis for the Providence game, you know, I feel they would have been, even though they kept it close with their defense, I think they would have won in that version of the Gavitt games, that edition of the Gavitt games there. So a lot to look into for in terms of Wisconsin, a lot of positivity. I think one thing too is the defense. That's maybe my last takeaway. They held Texas A&M, Houston, St. Mary's, you know, an average of 58.7 points per contest. That's huge. And they mostly allowed with 63, and that was to Houston. This team will play very good defense. It's starting to emerge, just their identity. If we talk about identity with football all the time, you know, with them, it's going to be the defense, and it's going to lead and create to some offense. And I think along with Johnny Davis and being this, you know, this standout player who has seemingly all the intangibles to not just make it in college, but beyond at the next level, it really will be, I think it'd be interesting to watch what this team, what happens going forward and where they go from here. And so next game, by the way, they'll be in Atlanta on December 1st, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, taking on Georgia Tech. And that'll be on ESPN2, 8:15 p.m. Central Time on December 1st. So next week, so they have a little bit of a break. They can catch up. Three games in 3 days is busy, and can take a lot out physically for these, for the college kids. So again, a promising start for Wisconsin right now, sitting at 5-1, and having a bona fide, you know, is it too early to say star? I'm not sure, but yeah, a bona fide standout player that can create so much with that offense. And you like what you're seeing with Davison and especially Wall. And I'll say even the younger guys stepping up. You know, Chucky Hepburn, Lauren Bowman, who had some key points against St. Mary's too. So again, we'll see what happens. We'll have Ben on one of these days on one of our medias in terms of talking more about this, either podcast or video. You'll hear it here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. So let's turn our attention though to Wisconsin and Minnesota. Again, 3 p.m. Central Time kickoff on Fox. I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek. I do this on the podcast every week. Essentially, it's our pre-snap read, right, folks? And so with that, you're looking at, with our pre-snap read, this will be out on Saturday morning, right before I leave for the Twin Cities. And looking at that, you know, I guess my three keys I'll give is first and foremost, contain Minnesota's ground game. And we talked about it with Alex. If you heard it on on this podcast just a couple minutes ago, or on our video on YouTube, Minnesota actually ranks 23rd in the FBS, third in the Big Ten in rushing yards per game, 204.3 yards per contest. Even with the injuries at that position group, you know, it has, you know, the past couple weeks utilized Kai Thomas and Marquise Irving, two backs, you know, that have combined for over 1,100 yards and have four touchdowns each. And, you know, they've run for, you know, almost, it looks like 381 yards combined between the two of them in the last two games. It will be something to watch just how Wisconsin responds to this ground game. Of course, I mean, I'm just looking at this. Gophers are averaging 100, or, you know, they've gained more than 180 or more yards. Yeah, they've gained 180 or more rushing yards in 8 of its 11 games played and reached that benchmark in 5 of the last 6 outings. So, and they've also run for 326 and what 308 yards against Maryland and Northwestern, respectively, you know, in that latter streak. So they know how to run the game, even with a, we detailed it out on badgerblitz.com, just how decimated that backfield is, which is, it mirrors Wisconsin, but theirs has been more injuries in that regard compared to, you know, having three players no longer in the program like Wisconsin has, along with two key season ending injuries there. So Wisconsin, of course, though, they're no slouch against the run. They're, you know, they lead the nation in run defense, allowing only 64.6 yards per contest, only 2.2 yards per carry. Only four opponents have gone over 100 yards on the, you know, each game against them. So it was last week, Nebraska only had 101 on 2.9 yards per carry. You know, Northwestern got that above that mark. Army's the, you know, Michigan did too. I think it was like 112 yards. But, you know, Army was the one that got 179, but we all know that with that triple option based offense, I think it was on 50 carries. So still under 4 yards per carry there. I think Wisconsin's going to have an ability to stop Minnesota's offense. If it's not their bread and butter, if they do, Minnesota only ranks like 117th in the nation in passing yards per game. Wisconsin's just right behind it, 118th with, I think, 161.5 there. But, you know, Tanner Morgan, he's efficient as a quarterback. His completion percentage hasn't been high this year. It's below 60%. You know, Chris Hotman-Bell is someone to watch for Minnesota's passing attack. He's got 33 receptions. But stop Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin can stop Minnesota in the run game. It's going to set up third and longs and not extend drives. I'll get more into that later as my third read. But I think Wisconsin will have a good chance to, but it will be a physical game and both teams are going to grind it out the line of scrimmage, which kind of takes me into my second read, which is really just do the same old stuff on offense that we've seen recently. The complementary nature of Wisconsin's offense over the course of the last three wins has been shown. You know, there was more balance the first two games. You didn't need balance against Nebraska last week where Wisconsin runs for 252 yards and Braylon Allen rips off two huge runs on way to 228 yards, a career high, and three rushing touchdowns. So, you know, in my eyes, Wisconsin, you know, I think they're going to have a chance to run on Minnesota. I'll tell you why in a second. But also on top of that, Wisconsin didn't need to be complimentary in terms, or didn't need to be balanced per se, yardage to yardage, but you still had Graham Mertz complete 12 of 18 passes for 145 yards and a touchdown against the Huskers. And before that, he also, like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you know, about 456 yards passing against Rutgers and Northwestern combined, 5 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions there. His completion percentage was very high during that point too. So in my eyes, Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin's playing his best football on offense when it matters, and they'll need it because Minnesota, you know, they'll be challenged in my eyes because Minnesota ranks among the best in the nation and in the conference in several categories. Scoring defense, they're allowing less than 19 points per game. They're 5th in the Big Ten and 13th in the FBS. Total defense, they're allowing under 290 yards per contest, and that's 2nd in the conference and 4th in the country. Rushing defense, this is key because Wisconsin obviously, you know, ranks 9th in the FBS at 229.4, and they lead the Big Ten in yards per game there. You know, rushing defense, Minnesota only allows 103.6 yards per contest. That's 3rd in the Big Ten, 12th in the country. And then, you know, pass defense, I mean, I think the question is going to be, it's part of our 5 burning questions we had yesterday, I should say, is if both teams stop the run, whose passing game is going to step up? And even with that, both both defenses are good against the pass. I know Wisconsin got torched for 351 yards through the air by the arm of Adrian Martinez, and having two receiving targets for the Huskers go over 100 yards last week. But overall, they're still, you know, among the best. I think they're sixth in the nation in passing yards allowed, fifth in passer rating efficiency defense. But Minnesota, 185.9 yards per game. That's third in the Big Ten and 13th in the FBS there too. So this is probably going to be a low scoring affair, but I think, you know, Wisconsin will have an opportunity to get the run game going. But for them to continue to post those wins, on top of that, not turning the ball over, same old stuff on offense, do what they've done recently, and they should be in good shape on Saturday. Last one, really for me, it's getting Minnesota off the field on third down. Minnesota actually, you know, a couple things that stand out here. They convert 45.6% of the time on third down. So that's third in the Big Ten, but 21st in the FBS in that particular category. That's huge, because with Minnesota, they actually rank third in the country and first in the Big Ten in time of possession. It's no longer Wisconsin, right? We all know Wisconsin likes to control the ball, but Minnesota averages 35 minutes and 37 seconds of the clock per contest. Wisconsin sits second behind Minnesota in the conference and seventh in the country, averaging just under 34 minutes of possession per contest. So that's going to be key. Get Minnesota off the field. Don't allow them to grind down the defense. That, you know, it's going to be a physical matchup. So obviously it's cliche, but get the offense off the field that way allows, you know, defense to rest more. Also, obviously, doesn't sustain drives and whatnot. So it will be very interesting just to see what Wisconsin can do there, because obviously Wisconsin ranks second in the FBS right now in third down conversion defense. They've only allowed opponents to move the chains 25.2% of the time. And so obviously there's a blip on the radar with Jim Leonard's defense allowing, you know, 4 of 9 opportunities on third downs to be converted last week against Nebraska. But I think this will change this week. And again, get the defense off the field, Wisconsin, or get the defense off the field. It'll rest them. Also allows, obviously, Minnesota not to have the ability to try to wear down an opponent and continue to grind away in a downhill-like rushing attack led by their two freshman backs. So those are my three predictions for the game. On that note, we're about a half hour in. I'll let you guys go on that. Make sure you all, a couple things coming up, I should say. Tonight on YouTube TV, we're going to have an interview I'll post it up right afterwards with new commit Aiden Vaughn, from the Michigan native, committed this week to Wisconsin. We'll talk to him. I'll be on the YouTube channel with him talking about his decision to commit. You know, it's just another commit that, you know, has flipped essentially, that, you know, he decommitted and then he flipped to Wisconsin. But I would preface that saying he previously was an Air Force commit, but then he decommitted. He reopened his process after a lot of offers. And then after those offers came, and then an official visit earlier this month to Wisconsin, he committed. On top of that, we got a lot more coming up for BadgerBlitz.com. Make sure, again, Wisconsin.rivals.com, BadgerBlitz.com are the two websites to go to because they're the same. We have our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe there. Just type in Badger Blitz. It's easy to find. Then on top of that, real easy, you know, follow us on Twitter at @Badger_Blitz. For me, it's at Jake Coco, KOCO, all one word. And then follow us on Facebook or like us or whatever they want to call it. Just search Wisconsin Badgers on BadgerBlitz.com. And then this podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it, wherever podcasts are heard and can be downloaded, please do that. Please subscribe too. It's free. There's no money involved with this when it comes to that end. So you guys have a great rest of the weekend. If you're heading up to the Twin Cities to watch this game, be safe, be healthy, be well. We'll talk to you again next week on another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.